on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? It's another edition of YoteCast. We're back for another week. How about that? Coming off of a nice home weekend for USD Athletics, where volleyball won three times. They're now 3-3 as they head to another tournament this weekend. Soccer won twice, so they improved their record over the weekend. Now 4 wins on the season. And football opened up its home schedule with a victory over Northern Arizona. Great to have you alongside for this episode of YoteCast. Coming up in the show today, we're going to talk to Soccer, the goalkeeper who has really kept things afloat for the soccer team. She will join us coming up in the show. We'll talk more football as the Coyotes head to Cal Poly for game number 3 of the season. So that's all coming up in the episode today. We'll start it off as we always do with the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. His name is David Herbster. David, it was a very busy and successful weekend for USD Athletics when you look especially at the home events. I know going into the week there were a lot of unknowns, maybe a little bit of nerves on how everything would unfold just from a personnel and a game day operation standpoint. But starting on Thursday through Sunday, it ended up a very successful weekend.
You know, it really did, especially if you look at the wins and losses and the health of all of our players. It really did. Sunday or Thursday started our, the volleyball tournament, and we were able to get through those matches that day. Our match on Thursday coincided with the start of our soccer match as well. So we had two events going on at the same time. We were fortunate enough to win both of those, roll into Friday. We got off of soccer from that perspective, but not only do we have a couple more volleyball matches, but we also have a high school football game and Hall of Fame that day. Roll into Saturday, we had our football game, and then Sunday soccer. So it really went very, very quick. And, we had hiccups. We had hiccups in just getting staffing some of the areas in all of the matches, really. And we were pulling in both full-time staff, student athletes, coaches to fill in some of those gaps and some of those holes. And we're finding that we're kind of subject to the national trend of in some of these, especially collegiate athletic venues, of having a difficult time in finding people to work on game days. So that posed some issues for us in several areas, and issues that we'll be addressing and looking to remedy by the time we roll into D-Day's weekend.
We'll get into some of those in just a little bit. Let's talk soccer. They got off to a great start with a win on Thursday against Drake. They beat Northern Iowa on Sunday, a soccer team that we have seen maybe not always turn into wins necessarily, but they have got off to a really good start to the year.
They really have. To go back-to-back wins against two Missouri Valley teams in both Drake and Northern Iowa, and that's the second time we beat Northern Iowa this year, they're really playing well together. I think Coach Thomas is, at least early on right now, has a good defensive scheme, and then you have to put yourself in positions to score goals. So it's really good to see how they've come along and having some early season success. Now, that said, it's a long season, but if you can get through some of these tough matches early on, that's really, really going to set us well in preparation and experience once we get into Summit League play.
How about volleyball, a team that got off to a tough start their first weekend playing when they went out to the Cardinal Classic, but they come home, South Dakota Classic. They win all three matches in front of the home crowds, two of them in, I believe, straight sets, and then one of them in a really, really tight fifth set with Milwaukee. But really good to see volleyball get some things rolling, especially at home.
It really is. And you think about it, for this past weekend, that was really our second weekend playing. And for a lot of those other teams, that was their third weekend of playing. And so, it's always nice to host a tournament and then to play like we did and to win your own tournament. That fifth set that you mentioned, that five set match against Wisconsin-Milwaukee on that third game, that was a really, really good team that we beat. And I give Leanne and the team a ton of credit for holding tight, because you had to come back a little bit to put yourself in a position for that fifth set. And even that fifth set, you had to really battle back a couple of times to make sure you could secure the win. So unbelievable effort by that group. And, as we kind of get into the season, it's matches like that, those five setters, that really help you from an experience standpoint throughout the rest of the season.
Volleyball, they go 3-0 in the South Dakota Classic. This was year number 3. By the way, they're 9-0 in the South Dakota Classic. How do we have more of these every single year?
Yeah, more than just one tournament. Yeah, we should have all tournaments.
And just call them all the South Dakota Classic if it leads to wins.
Right. I like the way you think. I like the way – I need to get you in touch with Leanne, and you guys can work on scheduling.
I'm sure she would appreciate my insight on that. But it is cool to see them, hosting, finally able to host tournaments like this, the South Dakota Classic. And so far it's been really, really good to them.
It really has. And you know what? It's so much better than being on the road 4 or 5 straight weekends out of the year, which is what we used to have to do. Being able to have the Classic at home, being able to establish it as a really good tournament and bring in good teams, that's what makes it attractive. And you have to run a good tournament. You have to make them feel and take care of those teams while you're here, so you can get teams back. It won't necessarily be the same teams, but certainly coaches talk enough to know what are the good tournaments to go to, which ones are well-run and which ones aren't. And we're in a position right now to be one of those tournaments that's a well-run tournament that teams do want to come to.
We've been talking about home events that have taken place. Tennis went on the road this weekend, and they had a really good showing out at the Drake Invitational when they played in Des Moines over the weekend.
They did, and that's one of those interesting ones, right, because that's an invitational. You have different flights of players, and so it's not like you come away from winning that whole tournament. But we had some players and some doubles matches that won and went through undefeated. It's a really good early season test against a lot of high-level competition and a lot of Power 5 competition. So it's nice to be playing well early on, and you hope that, in their case, that they can continue that type of play and improve as the season goes on and improve as we get into the Summit League matches to put us in a position for the Summit League tournament.
Hall of Fame weekend this weekend. On Friday night was the banquet. The Hall of Famers were recognized Saturday during the football game. How did things go with the Hall of Fame banquet and welcoming those folks into forever enshrinement in Coyote Athletics?
It went really, really well. That's one of those. And for me, it was a little more special because three of the athletes that were there, 4 of them total, I had the opportunity to watch them their juniors or senior years, my first couple years here. So it was kind of special to welcome, Chris Morton, Bridget Yeager, Steph Gebhardt back in here. Tyler Kane was the other one that was of that era that he's overseas playing basketball in Europe right now. But that's really special to know them at that age. But overall, just the overall impact that this has done, they're all such good ambassadors for the university and for Coyote Athletics. It's no wonder that they're in the Hall of Fame.
Obviously, one of the feature events for the weekend was the home football game, home openers. The Coyotes beat up on Northern Arizona 34-7. A lot goes on football game days. Let's start with, before you get in the building, tailgating. There were some adjustments to tailgating this year. We have new entrances, just a little bit different. What did you see out in the parking lots before the game?
I saw a heck of a lot of smoke in the air, kids throwing balls around and music. I mean, it was lively. And here's the thing now, 4 or 5 years ago, we were all just on the one side of the dome. And now we have, tailgating operations to the north side, a new parking lot now to the south, the west side still programmed. And so it really is kind of a 360-degree atmosphere. We'll continue to look at tailgating, make some adjustments if we need to, figure out exactly where is everybody, try to find new opportunities for people that do want to tailgate. But I think overall from the outside of it, it went really well. It was good to see everybody back again. Everybody was excited to be back tailgating, just gathering again to celebrate a little bit. And it really helps when it's a nice day, such a nice day as it was for tailgating.
decent crowd on hand. We'll always continue to ask for more fans to show up, but I'll tell you what, football got off to a fast start in that game, and the fans that were in the building were really, really engaged and energetic on Saturday.
You know what? They were, and we needed them. I mean, that momentum, that energy kind of feeds over into the, you know, into play as well. And when you can click early on like that, have some success early on, and certainly defensively, we're able to stop them and turn around, maybe in some cases short field, but able to have and continue to move the ball and score, right? That confidence, those first couple series really helps. And if the offensive has the confidence and then the defense is really charged up when they go out and they have such a good series and then they turn around, the offensive has a good series. So that first half was honestly outstanding. And when you're, especially when you're playing well in both on the defensive side of the ball, the offensive side of the ball, and in special teams, to put yourself in a position to be, you know, to be up 27 to nothing at half. That's an explosion that we needed to start off and to kick off the dome.
How fun are the light shows that happen before the game when the team runs out there, during touchdowns, things we couldn't do before? That to me is a lot of fun.
It really is. You know, we have some more things that we can do right during games. And, you know, previously before we had renovated that place, it was, if you turned the lights off, you'd have to wait 15 minutes before you could turn them on, and it'd take 10 minutes for them to warm up to come on. So to be able to take advantage of some of those things, we're still learning, what can we do? What else do we want to do? To have some of those bells and whistles is really, really nice, to really help with the atmosphere and help with the energy.
You talked about some of the hiccups that happened over the weekend, and I know some people are concerned about not seeing replays on the video board. There were some comments about the sound system, all stuff that you get the opportunity to kind of review and address and hopefully continue to improve in a game day atmosphere.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's, you know, very rarely do you have the opportunity to run a completely and totally clean game. Stats on the board, we had a new the NCAA has a new stat software that they utilize. We've kind of gone away from the old stat crew software that used to be used into a program that the NCAA provides. That was working with our video board on Friday, and for whatever reason wasn't working on Saturday, even though while the game was going on, we're trying to troubleshoot. Have since remedied that. You know, the replays, you know, again, we had a new person working the replay board, and that's, believe me, these aren't excuses. It's just a matter of this is what happened and things that we know that we have to fix. And a lot of times in our offense, being a hurry-up offense, it's really difficult to run replays when you're running that quick-foot offense, or frankly, when Northern Colorado is running, or Northern Arizona is running a hurry-up offense. So part there are certainly challenges there. And honestly, I've always felt like people, we're replaying either too much or we're replaying not enough, or why did you not replay this one, or why did you replay that one? So life in that production booth is kind of interesting at times, I can tell you that. But I'm with them. When it's a good play, you want to see the replay, and you want to see it several times. The PA and the sound system really came down to a factor of how close the microphone was to our PA announcer at any given time. There were times I could hear him crystal clear. There were times I looked up at the sound system and I couldn't understand what was going on. So those are all things that, you know, have been identified, and there's things that we really have remedies and fixes for. So, you know, come October 2nd, we look to run a much cleaner game on October 2nd.
You know, I had some people ask me if athletics goes through simulated type of games or anything to get better from game one to game two, or even before game number one. I know there's a lot of effort that goes into before the first snap and before game day even happens, testing all of this stuff, but it's technology. Things happen.
It is. It's technology, and you also have the human factor in there as well. The one thing that we have to be able to do is be able to adjust in game. No different than we ask a team to make adjustments. Our own staff has to be able to identify issues and problems and make adjustments on the fly. And so those are things that I expect, and it's things that we've been able to do. It will be things that we will continue to do going forward.
Well, we'll look forward to all those adjustments. The next home game, of course, is D-Days. It'll be a rocking good time. Football this week goes to Cal Poly. We've talked about how FBS games get scheduled throughout the course of the year. How do you work through scheduling these FCS games in the non-conference?
you know, as we've done it, in this case, if I look at this particular year, we had actually secured the Kansas game first, and then we build in the FCS games around it, and we do those in a home-and-home scenario. We were actually supposed to be at Northern Arizona last year, and they were going to come back this year. Well, that last year didn't happen, and, you know, we're looking at rescheduling Northern Arizona, and again, it's probably going to be 4 or 5 years down the road before we can get them back on the schedule. So you plot in where your FBS team is, and then you start to build your FCS teams around that. So, but again, we're talking 4, 5, 6 years down the road as from a scheduling perspective.
Always working, always building the schedules. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it as always, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota, joining us here on Yodcast. In sports, one team wins and one loses, but when it all comes to bioethanol, we all win. Poet Biorefining Hudson is proud to be a local producer of environmentally friendly bioethanol and help create a competitive corn market for area producers. Well, a team that has done a lot of winning lately, the University of South Dakota soccer team, who's coming off of a couple of home victories this past week, defeating Drake on Thursday before beating Northern Iowa on Sunday for the second straight time this season. Those two have played the past two Sundays. USD has won 1-0 in both of those. First in Cedar Falls, September 5th, and then this past Sunday, September 12th, in Vermilion, sandwiched in between there, a 4-1 victory over Drake. Three straight wins for the Coyotes soccer team. They're now 4-1-2 on the season, heading into a matchup with Iowa State out of the Big 12 Conference, which is coming up on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. One of the main fixtures and the key players for the soccer team is Emma Harkle-Road. She is the goalkeeper for South Dakota and currently ranks 5th in the nation in save percentage and goals against average. And she obviously has been critical to South Dakota, allowing just 3 goals this season, two at Wyoming and 1 against Drake. That's all that the Coyotes have allowed through their 7 games so far this season. We had a chance to catch up and talk to her about the season. Emma, as you continue through your season and you look at the way that the season has started, obviously your team has gotten off to a pretty good start to the season. And just kind of take us through the first few games and what has allowed this team to get off to such a good start.
I think that our cohesion as a team has really allowed for us to sort of kickstart this season. We pretty much came back from last season with the same team, minus one who graduated, Sunny Huttner. So I think that kind of gave us a bit of an advantage with team bonding a little bit. Like, we love our new freshmen that came in, and I think we're really getting along with them and everything. But I think the people we have on the field right now know how to play with each other really well, and it kind of helps give us a bit of an edge over the other teams who might not have that.
You look at the start of your season, obviously a team you were scheduled couldn't make it due to their flight being canceled. Coach throws together a game so you could get your season started. And you start the season with an absolute thriller in a double overtime win. I know that there were a lot of fans in attendance for that. The Coyote Crazies were out. What was that moment like to kind of look out and observe and just see the attention you're getting on the opening weekend?
It's amazing to see the support that we're getting from our fans, and especially the Coyote Crazies being out there. It's nothing like we've had before, and it really kind of boosts our energy for the rest of the season, sort of to get us going, to get us excited for seeing what's going to come, I think.
Three straight wins right now for your team, coming off of a couple of wins over Northern Iowa, one home, one on the road, and Drake mixed in there as well. What's the feeling right now on this team as you are on that 3-game win streak and prepare for another home game?
The energy is really high right now. We're all very much looking forward to our game this Sunday against Iowa State, and we're trying not to get too much in our heads with their game streaks right now, but we're really excited to play them, and we're not we're not going to back down from the challenge that Iowa State's going to present to us. We're really looking forward to it.
When you look at you and the opportunity to continue playing and play another year, how much goes into that decision for you personally to come back and play one extra year?
A lot kind of went into that decision. I was back and forth for a little bit. I wasn't sure if I wanted to come back for my fifth year or if I wanted to just be done after four. But with COVID and everything that happened, I knew that wasn't how I wanted to end my career, with a partial season in the spring that didn't feel as real as a fall one would. So I really wanted to come back and get that last bit of soccer from South Dakota had to offer me in the fall.
When you look at you and the season that you're having currently, fifth in the nation in goals against and saves, and I know there's a bigger goal for you and your team and what you're trying to accomplish, but you have to at least appreciate, seeing your name kind of at the top when you look at goalkeepers around the country and those categories, which are obviously very critical to your team winning soccer games. What does that mean to you, just knowing how much that you've developed and grown in your time at USD?
It's an incredible honor to be honored in things like Defensive Player of the Week or Golf Against or those sorts of – it's crazy to me because I look back at myself from freshman year to now, and I'm a completely different player, and so I'm really grateful that South Dakota has been able to offer me the development to become the goalkeeper that I am now and work on the things that I had issues with as a freshman. And now looking back, I'm 20 times more confident than I was. And it feels great to be where I am as a goalkeeper now.
When you look at the program right now, and obviously three straight wins and right now a winning record for this group as you get closer and closer to conference play, what have you seen in your time at USD with head coach Michael Thomas and his coaching staff that has continued to allow the program to just continue to build for those steps that you're at now and the type of season that you're having?
When I was a freshman and we had that coach change and Michael Thomas came in, he had a plan that he knew he wanted to run with us, and he was secure enough in our team to not clean house and get a bunch of new recruits in here. So I think Coach Thomas, he has faith in our team, and he knows that we're able to work with him and run his plan and be creative when we need to. And I think that's really helped, especially with coaching staff changes that we've had over the years and new coaches coming in. I think it's really the stability that we've had the last few years now with Michael Thomas as head coach has helped our cohesion on the team and helped really with the new assistant coaches or goalie coaches coming in and bonding with our team and making sure they're a good fit for us. He makes sure he is good about making sure that the coaching staff fits with us as players and fits with him as a coach so that there's no animosity going on or no trouble, I guess.
Oh, it makes sense. It takes a good leader to get all that rolling, and obviously a great team to continue, what is trying to be built. All right, take us inside the game. As you are obviously South Dakota has been off to a good start this year with not allowing too many goals on the season, only three goals allowed this season. There's a handful of shutouts on the year. Take me through a play. I've always been curious. Now, as the opposing team starts to get on the attack, and as the goalkeeper, you're trying to sort a lot of things out visually as they approach. What's going through your mind as the opposing team starts to get on the attack and you think they might have a good opportunity to set up a shot attempt?
Well, it's kind of a crazy to get into a dive into my head, but in those moments, a lot of things are going on. I'm trying to organize my defense and make sure that we've got enough cover that if they do get a shot and if I am able to make a save, that we've got that back line, we've got our mids back to be able to get the ball out. And we've also got to worry about the angle that the shooter's taking, and if I have the right cover on the angle, or the history that this player's got with shooting left or shooting right, or how they're shooting, or what they decide to do. So it's a lot going on in a keeper's head, not just mine, but I think any keeper can speak to that. It's just insane trying to keep everything under control in the box. But main priority, I'd probably say, is just stopping that shot. Just when everything else can't be controlled anymore, it's just focusing on that one person, that one shot, where the ball is, and seeing if I can stop it before it gets in the back of the net.
Now, obviously, you would love to be bored every single game, because that means your team is constantly on the attack. Although I do know that you like getting in the action, you'd like to be bored. So here's the thing. If I'm out there and I'm bored all game because my team's on the attack, in my head, I start to get lost in my other thoughts and start thinking about what's for dinner and all that stuff, and look around and probably see a squirrel run and get a little sidetracked on that. How do you stay focused during a game so that when they do come on the attack, mentally you're ready to go?
It's definitely hard. I used to have a big issue with staying focused during games. My mom can attest to that. When I was younger, I got distracted by an ice cream truck when I was young and goal and the ball almost went in.
We've all been distracted by an ice cream truck, believe me.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's been something I've had to work on. But I now run through a checklist sort of in my head, and then when I'm done with the checklist, I run through it again, which is, I check my back line. I make sure that they're in good positioning. And then I check my midfield. And then I check where the ball is. And then maybe I'll give myself a few seconds off to watch the offense to see if we're going to get a good goal. That'd be awesome. But then if they start coming back, I run through it again. Defense, midfield, watch a little bit. Defense, midfield, watch a little bit. Maybe check the time. But it's definitely a little bit more difficult to stay focused when we're having a good game and keeping the ball on the other side of the half.
You play Iowa State this weekend. It's on Sunday afternoon in Vermilion. The game gets underway at 1:00. Then a little time off before you play conference play with St. Thomas and Western Illinois, both in Vermilion. So the next three games are at home. What would be your message to fans to get them to come out and check this thing out? What's going on right now with not only the program as a whole, but with this team this year specifically?
I would tell our fans that we're a team to watch, that this South Dakota team is unlike any that's come before us. And if they want to see a team win, and if they want to see a team work as well as we do together, that they should come out and check our games. Because we've got three of them. And I'm really excited that they're all at home, which is rare. We didn't really have that many home games last year. But I would say that we're a team to watch, and that if they want to check out a good game, that they need to come check us out.
All right. Well, fill the stands and check out the soccer team again. They're in action this Sunday against Iowa State, and then after a little break, start conference play against St. Thomas. That is October 1st on a Friday, and then Western Illinois on a Sunday. Emma, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. As always, keep up all the great work, and we'll keep watching and watching this team continue to do well. Thanks so much for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Emma Harkle-Rhodes. She is the goalkeeper for the South Dakota soccer team. Again, the Yotes are back in action on Sunday afternoon when they play host to Iowa State. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff in Vermilion. Coyote soccer currently 4-1-2. South Dakota football team is coming off of a dominating home performance over Northern Arizona, 34-7, the final score in that one. The Coyotes will now head on the road to play another team out of the Big Sky Conference as they head this weekend to Cal Poly to take on the Mustangs, who are under direction of Bo Baldwin. Bo Baldwin was the head coach at Eastern Washington for a number of years. He left there to go to Cal and be the associate head coach and, I believe, offensive coordinator for the Cal Bears. Well, when things didn't quite work out there, he had the opportunity to be the head coach at Cal Poly, so here we are. Now, they are a lot different than what they used to be. When you look at Cal Poly, a team that has been a triple option, kind of an option kind of team, is no longer that kind of team with a new leader in Bo Baldwin. Bo Baldwin obviously won a national championship with Eastern Washington. The following year, he comes to Vermilion, and the Coyotes upset the top-ranked Eastern Washington Eagles. That's the only time Bo Baldwin has faced the University of South Dakota. Bob Nielsen has never faced Cal Poly in his coaching career. Had a chance to catch up with Zachary Anderson Yoxheimer. He is the play-by-play voice of Cal Poly as we talk about the start to the season for the Mustangs. Zach, you're two games into the season with Cal Poly, and obviously 1-1 on the year, a very close game to get things started, and then last week against a very good Fresno State team. I know that game got away a little bit. When you look at Cal Poly, what have you seen out of this group in the first full season under direction of Bo Baldwin?
Well, I've seen some improvements, especially from the spring, where with all the COVID regulations and protocols, they really didn't have a good offseason going into the spring. Now here coming into the fall for Cal Poly, they've had just a first full offseason for Bo Baldwin. So offensively with the new quarterback, they have Spencer Brash at the helm, and he's shown some nice passes the first couple of games. And defensively, they've looked a lot better with their assignments the first couple of games. Of course, last week, Fresno State took it to them a little bit, but they've showed some improvements on all sides of the ball, and it looks promising coming into the third game of the season.
You know, they really got battle-tested in game number one. It was a really tight game for the most part with San Diego, but this team showed that it can really battle to the end and grind out those close games when the pressure's kind of on.
Yeah, in the San Diego matchup week one against the Toreros, they had some opportunities where they could have scored some early points. They missed a couple of field goals because they have a freshman kicker who started off the season 0-3. And they just need to find a way to get their special teams unit going. And in the close game against San Diego, they were able to close it out. And then for Fresno, they were able to keep it close for a quarter before things kind of broke open a little bit there.
You mentioned Spencer Brash. He's the quarterback. We've seen that he has the ability to throw the football and also take off and run a little bit. What are you seeing out of Spencer Brash as he continues to grow with this offense?
Well, Brash is a quarterback that followed Bo Baldwin from Cal and wasn't here in the spring, but since came over in the offseason to join him here at Cal Poly and won the job and late in the fall camp. And he's shown the ability to have what Cal Poly fans haven't seen in quite some time, to have a pocket passer after transitioning from the triple option to now the spread formation. And he's shown the ability to run, although the one real nitpicky thing about the offense so far is the inability to run. So you might see some Kalik Paulette. He was in the Fresno State game last week. He was in a QB. So the Mustangs might operate almost as if like the Coyotes, where you might see a couple of quarterbacks in there this week.
When you talk about that running game that hasn't been able to get going the way that they like, they really have tried different guys to get it going. A very balanced attack, three different running backs, quarterbacks running the football in this offense. So it looks like an offense that they're going to continue to give a bunch of guys an opportunity to get something figured out there.
Yeah, the running back has almost been kind of by committee, even with the quarterbacks mixing in too. They've had Lepi Latamua, who's come in and got some of the RB1 runs and attempts. Jacoby Harper, a SoCal kid from Mater Dei High School, he had some big high school runs. And in week one against San Diego, got his first career collegiate touches and a touchdown. So it's just the continual operation of finding a way to get some holes for that offensive line. That went from triple option running all the time to now throwing majority of the time.
How about the receivers? Chris Coleman obviously has a couple of touchdowns on the season, but you look up and down, either receivers or tight end, and there are five different guys that have at least six catches, which means Spencer Brash really likes to spread the ball around.
Yeah, that's just the nature, you know, the spread offense. He's loving his Chris Coleman. That two times they've connected for TDs, once at Fresno and the first one of the year for Brash, and his first one collegiately coming against USD, a big connection where Coleman is somewhat of the big play guy. Once in each game so far, Coleman's had a big play going down the sidelines against both the Bulldogs of Fresno State and the Toreros of USD. But some of the other guys, like John Carlo Woods, big playmaker as a redshirt freshman. He was a big playmaker in high school. You have Zedekiah Centers, who's gotten some touches, and even Xavier Moore, got a touchdown catch in week one. So the Mustangs like to spread the ball around, and maybe they'll find a way to get another number two receiver under Coleman so far from what we've seen the first 2 weeks.
How about defensively for Cal Poly? Who are some of the guys that really need to continue to elevate their game if Cal Poly's going to have, you know, good opportunities to win these games in the Big Sky Conference?
Well, I was talking with my color commentator, Stephen Hodges, earlier, and he was mentioning how Dylan Wyatt, one of the DBs for the Mustangs, leads the FCS in passes defended per game. A lot of words to say. He's been pretty good as a DB. The Mustangs have a longtime history at linebacker with the Shotwells coming through. Matt Shotwells, a senior linebacker, a leader for the team alongside Judea Moon. Both those two will be a big influence to try and stop this Coyote running attack coming this weekend, and also just going forward in the Big Sky with the teams like the Montanas, Montana States, going forward in this Big Sky Conference.
Let's talk about the Big Sky Conference. It's a conference that really turned some heads on the opening weekend with some FBS wins and just some really big wins. And obviously Montana State have been good. Eastern Washington has had a lot of success. UC Davis has been really, really good. This is one of the premier leagues in the FCS. What's your take and outlook on the Big Sky Conference?
Yeah, I mean, the Big Sky, you know, Missouri Valley, some of the two top conferences in the FCS. Big Sky seems to be looking a lot better than years past. Not saying it was down, but it's even tougher than it already was. You know, the better are just getting even better, going as far as Montana getting a big win against Washington on the road in Seattle. Montana State had Wyoming on the ropes in Laramie, and even Eastern Washington, UC Davis, those two teams getting some big wins. And by comparison, you see Cal Poly go to USD, get a close win, and UC Davis getting a big waxing of USD the next week. It's just the measuring tape for what the Mustangs need to do week by week going into the non-conference, with Big Sky play starting up right after this South Dakota matchup this weekend.
Bo Baldwin, let's talk about him. He's the head coach. He's new to this for Cal Poly, a guy who came in the spring, but was there for last season, but obviously that we can kind of throw that season out the window, just the challenges that everybody dealt with. So this is his first full season. Obviously, he's had a lot of success other places, Eastern Washington, Central Washington, all before getting that opportunity to be the OC at Cal. What's the excitement level right now around San Luis Obispo and Cal Poly's community about Bo Baldwin being the leader?
Well, when you have the likes of Bo Baldwin, a former national champion head coach at Eastern Washington, it's weird for Bo, because here this weekend will be his first game at home coaching-wise in San Luis Obispo with fans in attendance. In the spring, before they opted out, no fans were allowed. And now here this coming weekend will be the first time the fans can, in mass, come cheer on the Mustangs. And for the first time in nearly a couple of decades, see them not run the triple option. So you wonder, just from an excitement standpoint, like, I think there will be a lot more excitement in the stands, especially with students coming this weekend. There is more energy, it seems to be, about the team just transitioning. It is going to be a year or two to see how they go from triple option to what Bo Baldwin's trying to implement. But they've improved, seeing from week one how they changed schemes from the San Diego matchup and to Fresno State. That first quarter and a half, the Bulldogs were in a bit of a fight. You look at the final score and you might think otherwise, but the Mustangs defensively matched up, and just seeing the little tinkering that goes in game to game, you see the Mustangs are growing as a program, and that looks to good going forward for the rest of the season and hopefully for the rest of Bo Baldwin's tenure here as the Mustang head coach.
What's your feeling from the Cal Poly fans on the change of offense? They've always known Cal Poly to be that triple option type of team, one of the few that remain, and now they look a lot different. How's that been received?
I think it'll be a lot more fun. You know, you go from running the ball, pitching it, and a couple of passes a game to, as we've noted before a few minutes ago, the running attack hasn't exactly gotten off on the right foot, so it's been a lot of passes. And you haven't seen the big connections yet, of course, coming off the big game against Fresno State, where it's not a real measuring stick. This game against the Coyotes coming up will be a real eye test for the Mustang fan base as to how they can temper or expand their expectations going forward this season, and know how this team's going to play out, not only in 2021, but going forward into 2022.
It's the home opener for Cal Poly. I know that there's a blackout planned and a lot of excitement, obviously, being the home opener. How fired up are fans this week as they get ready for this first game? As you mentioned, first game under Bo Baldwin with fans in the stands. What's the excitement level like right now?
It's huge, especially with the students here at Cal Poly. They don't start school, so I think this upcoming Monday on September 20th, so the students are all moving in. You get everybody coming in because Cal Poly's on the quarter system here in SoCal. And there's just going to be a different energy. All the students coming in, the Mustangs getting that week one win against San Diego, and just the sheer excitement of not seeing football at home in a couple of years with a new revamped offense and a new program with a new head coach will bring a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz coming this weekend.
I know you mentioned a little bit ago fans in the stands, and you said with masks. What's the situation in regards to COVID protocols in your area right now?
Indoors, it is masks are necessary in public places. Outdoors, that is not the case. So if you come to Spanos, there'll be a lot of fans outdoors. That is not necessarily the case in San Luis Obispo or Slo County. I know if you go a little further south in LA, it's a little different depending on the amount of crowds and whatnot, whether it's 10,000 or above. Spanos itself holds just about 11,000 or a little more than that. So you don't need masks to be outdoors, but indoors in public spaces, that's where the masks are needed, like in the Mott Athletic Center where the Mustangs play their home basketball or wrestling or even volleyball matches.
Final thing, and I'll let you get on your way. For fans who may be traveling, we always take some parents and always have some sponsors, boosters, those kind of fans along with us as well. And we see the Coyote Red a little bit on these road games, especially when you get the chance to go to California. Maybe there will be a few more in. How about for those fans that may be making the way? Where's a good place to get some food either on Friday night or pregame on Saturday? It's a night game on Saturday, evening game. So where's a good chance to pregame for our fans who might be headed to the game?
Well, in downtown Slo, you're not short of options here in the Central Coast. I would probably go check out Firestone, but you couldn't go wrong with maybe Old Slo Barbecue. And if you're coming up from maybe the Santa Maria area, maybe I would say check out Jocko's. That might take a little bit of a wait, though, a little bit of a smaller venue, but that's excellent barbecue. So between Firestone, which is in downtown Slo, Old Slo Barbecue, which is at the bottom of Higuera Street, and even Jocko's, which is a little further south of San Luis Obispo, if you're driving up, those are a couple of good barbecue places amongst many good options in San Luis Obispo.
Ah, barbecue. Everybody loves a little barbecue. Zach, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate it very much, and we'll look forward to seeing Spanos, Cal Poly, and the entire area, and we'll look forward to seeing you as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on, and good luck. Thank you.
That is Zachary Anderson Yoxheimer. He is the play-by-play voice of the Cal Poly Mustangs. My thanks to him for taking the time to join the show on this one. So the Coyotes will head out west to take on Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo. It's a 7 o'clock Central Time kickoff. That means 5 o'clock out in San Luis Obispo. And then the Coyotes will return home late on Saturday night or early Sunday morning, however you look at it. Before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what's going on this week in Coyote Athletics. This weekend, volleyball travels to Wichita, Kansas. They will take on three teams down there playing on Friday night against the host Wichita State. Then on Saturday, the Coyote volleyball team is scheduled to play 17th-ranked Creighton in Wichita. That's a noon start time, and then play Wyoming at 4:30. Softball is set for a couple of fall matchups this weekend. They will host Mount Marty at 10 a.m. on Saturday before playing Northeast Community College at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Cross country's in action this weekend. They travel to Lincoln, Nebraska for the Woody Greeno Invitational, and triathlon heads to the Arizona State Invitational in Tempe, Arizona. That all in addition to the football game on the road at Cal Poly. Again, that's a 7 o'clock Central Time kickoff. We will be on the air with our Coyote Sports Network pregame show at 6 o'clock from San Luis Obispo. On Sunday, the soccer team takes on Iowa State. That is a 1 o'clock kickoff in Vermilion. And then on Monday and Tuesday, the men's golf team is at the Ram Masters Classic. That is in Fort Collins, Colorado. Also on Tuesday, the softball team is scheduled to host Northwestern of Iowa at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's what's going on and coming up in Coyote Athletics. That's going to do it for us in this episode of Yodcast. My thanks to David Herbster, Emma Harkle-Rode, and Zachary Anderson-Yoxheimer, the play-by-play voice of the Cal Poly Mustangs. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, and until next time, go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yodcast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.